Right now it's time to bring in Jim Lynch and cover your assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, moon landings, fracking.
Conspiracies,
everything. And he's put over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who made the trade possible for the Yankees to bring in another slugger, Jim Lynch. So how good is Derek Jeter? He goes to another team and he says, you know what? I'm going to help the Yankees out by dumping one of my best players.
Well, I'll tell you how good he is. He's a very grateful, gracious person.
And I just wish Miami had better pitching that we could take a couple of their pitchers.
Now, don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
Well, anyways, good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you and Jill and everybody in Robin Hood Radio Land.
Well, where are we going to start off today?
Well, I don't know. Why don't we just have a coffee and relax?
I've got it right here. Hang on a second.
Okay. All right. Now that you insist, let's start with the president, as in Trump, and his Jerusalem plan. Which I hope it doesn't, but will probably be disastrous, in that basically he's changing 70 years worth of policy, where we kept peace in the Middle East, at least in the sense of not putting it in the eye of the Palestinians by making Jerusalem the capital. That said, I just want to end this little thing with, any blood that's spilled as a result of this, and there will be it American or Israeli or Palestinian, is on Trump. It is on Trump. The world knows it. The same nations, not just the Arab nations, just can't believe what he's done. And why he does these things, I guess we're going to have to leave that up to the history books, to psychoanalysis. I don't know who to figure him out. Nazi Fagan would be a kind way to say it.
Yeah. What's interesting about this, and you know, I used to be extremely pro-Israeli. Okay, I would agree with 100% of what they did in my younger days, and I progressively felt sorry for the Palestinians because everybody lines up against the Palestinians. They don't have any real friends in the world. They just don't, even though, because they wouldn't be in the position they are. And I always thought, when it came to the us recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it was the de facto capital of Israel anyway. And just because we have a station there anyways, you don't have to come out and make a public pronouncement, because once again, to me, the public pronouncement, it's no big thing except for the fact that, yes, it strikes in the heart of the Palestinians, who really have, it seems to be, no representation in this matter except the factions that fight for their control.
All right, now I have to interrupt here. I'm really sorry. And this is, you know, there are many, many sides, and this is thorny. But you have to recognize that what was done was exactly the same thing that's been done by successive presidents over the last 40 years. And it was done with the backing of Chuck Schumer and major members of the Democratic Party.
The wealthy members of the Democratic Party.
As you know, and it wasn't just a random thing. And as with many other things, there are, I hate to say it again, multiple sides, multiple aspects. All you can say is you need to be informed. Because, you can line up, I can say this as a Jewish person, you can line up five Jews, and you usually get a spirited debate about whatever it is.
Well, I've been to Israel, Jerusalem, I guess three times, a couple in the 90s, and I guess in 2000 and something, I really forget. And I was always impressed as I was in the old city walking, how integrated and how everybody was kind of okay. As we know, the Palestinians make up a large amount of the workforce in Israel, and they got along just fine in terms of the interaction of daily life. And it's always those types of people, the everyday people, who get hurt by what the politicians do. And it's very sad. It's very sad. The last time I was there, that wall was up, talking about walls, and it's very disturbing just to see that kind of thing in a land that is so beautiful and spacious and everything. Okay, so let's move on. Let's get domestic now, and let's talk Gillibrand. Senator Gillibrand from New York. First, let me give you a quick history. Bill Clinton, I think a great president, who was impeached, but then was the Senate didn't carry through. He also paid $850,000 to Paula Jones in a settlement because of sexual harassment or whatever. He also had a 12-year affair with a woman named Flowers. I'm certain there were other things that he did. That said, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they have their relationship. That's fine. They go on, and she becomes Secretary of State, first a senator and Secretary of State. When she steps down from Secretary of State, she embraces Gillibrand to take her place. Gillibrand runs. She runs on the Clinton name. And she succeeds. And she succeeded because Hillary Clinton was an outstanding senator and a well-liked person. That said, Gillibrand gets the award, I think probably for the phoniest Democrat in 2017, with her behavior regarding Senator Al Franken. Firstly, she's not senior enough to come out the way she did and obviously politicize Al Franken's situation. So, Ms. Gillibrand, I'm just one, but when you try to run for president, I can assure you, based on where I am and what I'm doing and how I'm feeling, I'll probably be one of those people at your rallies that says phony, hypocrite. That said, this whole thing in Washington, in the country, it's beyond the pale in terms of people having to resign and people having done this, that, and the other thing in the past. I don't judge them. I'm not going to get on a pulpit and yell at them as everybody else did, but I'm not going to accept their behavior.
Well, here's what I'll let Jill come in here, but I just want to say one thing about Bill Clinton. I found what he did in lying to his friends and covering it up, and then it was despicable. No one was as big as a Bill Clinton supporter than I was, but Bill Clinton paid the price as president. He lost his right to practice law. It was an embarrassment. It was something he had to deal with family and friends with. He paid a price for his indiscretions.
Unquestionably.
And he got to keep his office because the impeachment failed, but he was impeached. He went through the whole process. He had to do a video deposition. He had to do all those things. And all I say is that to everybody who now is coming under this close scrutiny, if they had to go through what Bill Clinton went through, it'd be amazing. Now, Joe, you can have the floor here.
Thank you. This is, again, there is such a distortion and just abuse of due process here. the fact that you accuse people, that the allegations get into the newspaper. Does anybody, I mean, the people who...
The people that make the allegations have every right to make the allegations and stand up, and they identify themselves. That should be the first step in our system to then taking those allegations and following them through and see if they're accurate or not.
We are a country of laws. The Congress is, they're lawmakers. This is just the, no, the idea that it gets into, I'm sorry, this is something about which I feel pretty strongly, because what you're not getting is, okay.
Well, I'm trying to explain what you're saying is that it should follow a process.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It should. It's called due process.
Yeah. It should follow that process. And
it's not.
And it doesn't nowadays.
Well, no, because you can say anything on social media.
There's nothing wrong with people making charges as long as it's not anything on social media. I'm
agreeing.
The women that make the charges, you know, you've got 19 people that came out against the president of the United States. You've got so they should be heard in a court of law.
Yeah, but should they be heard on a cable as a panel discussion?
Yeah, sure they should.
Okay.
Because they're not being heard anyplace else, Jill.
But okay, so basically, throw out the laws.
Because the law is not helping them.
Do you believe that Franken should have resigned?
No, I don't. I think he should have gone through due process like Bill Clinton did.
Okay, and so why wasn't he able to?
Because the Democrats didn't want him to. Because it's politics. It's not law. It's politics.
All right. Well, as long as we're making that clear,
I totally agree with that.
You know, go through the due process. You know, if you know, go through the process.
But
there is no process, obviously, for these women because nothing has been done since they've come up with.
So come on, I mean, okay. So let's not talk about a politician, for example. Let's just talk about a media person who is on the 100. Can't use the word on TV, media list of men. So they've, you know, kind of gone. These are separate from the ones that have come out, and this is totally separate from Weinstein, etc. All right, so these guys have basically been put on indefinite leave. Many of them are, you know, late 70s, 80, 82. Larry, you know, latest allegations involve Larry King. All right, fine. But what are they supposed to now go do?
Well, you know, Jill, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it goes. But I feel the same way for the women that are making these.
I'm not talking about the women.
But I am, because it is a difference.
Well, okay, you're in there talking about the women making allegations, and you absolutely, I don't think that we disagree that people should be heard.
But they're not being heard.
Well, then, okay. I believe that there are still mechanisms in place for them to be heard
they're not working. That's all. Those mechanisms.
Whatever.
Okay, let's get back to process. Let's take Al Franken. I think what should have happened, and there are many other cases, obviously, but he's been an outstanding senator. And that said, when this came up and these things came out, the process should have been that the Senate should have said, okay, we're going to investigate this, and we're going to take a deposition of those women who have said these things about Mr. Franken, and we're going to depose Mr. Franken all in private, much as some of the depositions happening in the Russian thing are happening. That said, then the process should be that the peers of Senator Franken, based on evidence presented and based on his own defense, decide what to do. What happened here, there was a rush to judgment, which always is results in very bad outcomes. And the Democrats, very stupidly and cowardly and ridiculously, decided, well, oh, God, you know, we're the party of morality, and, this will help us in 2018, and, oh, we can say how rotten Trump and Moore are. Well, you know, it's like eating your young to survive. That's what they did to Franken. They basically forced him into a situation where what the hell am I going to do now? However, I do think that Schumer, and particularly Schumer and some other people, convinced him that it was in the best interest of everybody, particularly the party, and he went down on the sword. I would hope, since it's not official yet, I don't think. It's from his mouth it's official, but I don't think he's, shall we say, signed the dotted line and resigned, that he rethinks, the Democrats rethink, and say, okay, if we're going to have these accusations about Frank and Connors and others, and they're resigning, we need an investigation of Donald Trump and what he did, yes, before his presidency. But, you know, many of the charges against Franken are before his senatorship. So if we're going to have due process, if we're going to have a fair and just situation in our Congress, we need to do this. And probably it's not too late to do it. The Democrats would have to confess and egg on the face, but who gives a damn? We want the country run properly. Al Franken has been a major, major contributor to the sane discourse in the Senate. And to lose him is terrible. Now, maybe after an investigation, they'll say, well, no, we just can't take it. But the point is, then we come away clean. It reminds me in a little bit of the crisis the banks, the U.S. banks created in 2006, 7, and 8, which put people out of their homes and this, that, and the other thing. None of the executives of those banks paid the price of going to jail. These were jailable offenses. But we decided, oh, we're going to look the other way because we don't want to disrupt the economy anymore and this, that, and the other thing. We got to start getting honest with ourselves and admit our faults and our warts and everything else and get on what is important. Right now, we have a lunatic in the White House that we have got to do everything in our power to get rid of and or at least mitigate the harm that he might do. He's done a lot of harm already. He's upset the entire country. He's divided many, many people. So don't forget, but let's have priorities here. And in terms of the sexual harassment things, much like if a couple of presidents of banks went to jail in 2008 and 2009, I think some of the disappointments and the feeling that the system is against them, that people have been harboring, would not have really grown as they have. And so too with the president. In one way, he opened the doors for everybody to begin to make claims. So that's good when that tape was revealed. But now it's turning the other way. I wrote a piece the other day, and I said, you know, we really, as a group, as citizens, we must pay attention in terms of voting and who we're voting for and who those people are, because we have made a tremendous error in voting for Donald Trump. It was all out there. How much more evidence could you get? The man himself testified on countless occasions to the fact that he was for himself. He would lie. He would do anything to look good. And people bought into this. He talks up to the institutions and this and that. I think some people really were harboring this depression, shall we say, from the banking crisis, and they went with this guy. So, folks, next vote, and you got a lot of votes coming up in 18. Please find out who these people are.
Well, you know, we have about a minute and a half left. Today in Alabama is an election. And what I try to tell people is, don't think that the Democrats can win just because of all these things. This is Alabama. It's a heavily Republican state. Barack Obama, when he was down there, carried about 80% of the black vote. And if the Democrats lose, it's not going to be a surprise. And if the Democrats win, I'll be absolutely surprised, because I just think the moral compass of this nation, even though people think that gay rights are wrong, the transgender, the moral compass of this country has gone askew. So we'll have to see what happens if it continues to be askew today.
Well, it'll be a sad day if Moore is elected, very simply because the Republican Party then acknowledges that it is the party of perverts, pedophilias. There's no other way to say it, okay?
I think there's one other way to say it. There's a policy, there's a party, and the Democrats are starting to be included, that take their party's image, and then anybody who's a Democrat or Republican, and throws it away in the amount of getting an office.
And then you have to subscribe to that, which I think a bunch of independents and atheists are really not interested in.
And everybody else in that party is now labeled the same thing.
And that's wrong.
That's horrible.
That's wrong. I know it's wrong, but it's reality.
Yep. No.
It may be reality, but it's wrong.
Look what the Democrats have done, the way they handle Franken and
Absolutely.
Others.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have two parties, in my opinion, that are kind of in shambles.
kind of
is really diplomatic. I spoke to a really hardcore... Oh, Marshall's saying out of time.
We only have about 10 seconds left, yes.
Okay.
We've done that.
Everybody, come on. We're USA. We've done it before. We'll get over this. God knows. I don't know how we'll get over it. We'll get over it.
All right.
Keep a smile on your face and keep moving forward.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.